Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us Challenge Edition podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, the senior entertainment editor of Us Weekly. As you guys know, sometimes we've doubled up on guests in a few times in the past when it comes to people who we really like to have on the show, who you guys really like to hear from. That's obviously the case for my next guest. I don't know, maybe you guys don't want to hear from him, but we'll see. So he doesn't really need an introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyways. You know, won the challenge a few times here, has a few rings there. The host of First Look in Celebrity Sleepover on NBC, the host of the Death, Taxes, and Bananas podcast, Johnny Bananas. Thank you so much for coming on.
Wow. I think you're right. I think there are some people who don't want to hear from me, but I do think that there are a few that do. So here we are. Thank you for that amazing introduction. And it's good to be back.
Yeah, for sure. How are you? I feel like you're all over the place. So I wanted to say, where are you?
I'm home. I will be here for, the foreseeable future. We just got back from a pretty intense filming schedule for First Look. We did... We got some really fun episodes banked. We did an episode up the Pacific Coast Highway with my dad, Papa Bananas, which airs September 9th. This Saturday, we're doing Chicago, which is another really fantastic episode. And then we got New York and Provincetown, currently being edited together. So we got a lot of fun travel shoots for you guys to look forward to. And then, like you said, I've also been, keep myself busy in the podcasting world with the Death, Taxes, and Bananas podcast. So a lot of content for you guys to take in.
Right. It's so much. There's so much bananas happening right now. Well, I obviously want to get into all of it. I want to start with the podcast because I have a quote from you. The last time we spoke on the podcast was March 2021.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, but I can't. I feel like, what is time at this point in the world?
It was just yesterday.
But obviously at that point you were like, I'm not retired from the challenge, but I'm ready to leave the nest, ready to focus on hosting, do that kind of thing. Here we are now, you have a challenge podcast. So was part of you like, I want to keep my distance? What made you want to be like, let me just do it?
So, few things. One, I felt like Total Madness, I needed a break. I needed a clean break. I needed to not think about or interact with or just insert myself into the challenge world. So Double Agents, I really did kind of watch from the sidelines. Bill Simmons, as you know, who's a huge challenge fan, just like an absolute giant in the podcasting world, reached out to me knowing that I was kind of sitting out. And he's like, why don't you do a challenge podcast for me? And it was just not the time. Like, I just didn't feel like it was the time nor the place. I wanted to, again, just kind of, just take a clean break. But his pitch was, for any football fans out there, do what Tony Romo did. Or a lot of, Troy Aikman, a lot of other quarterbacks who have gone from playing in the league to now being an analyst. And that was kind of an interesting perspective for me, is instead of just a running commentary on the episode, right, breaking down or just regurgitating back to the fans what happened, actually take some of my experiences, my knowledge, my wealth of knowledge that I have kind of accumulated over the years, and help apply that to the show. And not only that, but also kind of bring fans behind the curtain and give them a perspective into what they don't see on television. And that kind of stuck with me. And then, this season came around and he approached me again and was like, he had a change of heart. And I was like, you know what? I think I am now, I've had enough time off. I'm far enough removed from the challenge to where I feel like I can, not only do I feel a little more comfortable about, talking about it. But again, I feel like I'm far enough removed from the cast members, the drama, where I can kind of almost take a, unbiased perspective towards things. And it's been fun. I this season's been tough at times to watch and to keep my, peaking my interest. but I think I've managed to find a very entertaining assortment of, not just cast members present, but past. And again, I had Bill on, had Juliet Littman, who's the head producer over at The Ringer, who are also huge Challenge fans. So it was great to get their perspective on it. And I feel a lot more comfortable in the podcast space than I thought I would. I've kind of taken some of my hosting chops that I've developed on First Look and applied them to this. And it's been a fun experiment so far.
So what happens when you want to go back?
What happens when I want to go back? Well, we'll just probably, I guess, bank some episodes ahead of time. Or maybe do like a carve out in my contract where it's like, listen, if you want me back on the challenge, you need to let me continue doing my podcast while I'm on location. Which might be a fun thing to do. I mean, I'm going to have all the guests that I need at my disposal. So maybe that's going to have to be a carve out for them to bring me back. Cause as of right now, I am contractually obligated, to do a certain number of episodes, which is it's going to be a tall task. All right. Because especially since the podcast that I'm doing is obviously about the challenge and, so we have to break down, the episode every week. And not only has this been a very, at times, tough season to sit through, but, also guests are somewhat hard to come by as well, because not only is it to be someone that I actually think is going to be entertaining enough to do the podcast and someone that I want to sit there and talk to for an hour, but cast members, everyone's like, why don't you bring on whoever, Leroy, or why don't you bring on like Laurel? And I'm like, because they're not watching the show. Like, I get it. When I'm not on the show, I'm not watching either. So the guests that I guess make the cut are being increasingly more difficult to find. So stay tuned.
I wanted to ask you about that because I feel like obviously for me, I work with the network and I work with, to bring people in. It is what it is. Obviously I've made those connections. You have all these people's numbers. You can just text them and have them come on. But is it more like, I got to make sure that it'll be a good conversation, because we know, now you're on this side of it, that the greatest people sometimes aren't the greatest interviews. So there's a difference.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. I got to do twice the work sometimes. You know what I mean? That's when I have to do a little more heavy lifting. But I mean, some of the guests are just easy. Like, I mean, the one I did with Wes was great. The one I did with Kyle was fantastic. Amber was, amazing. Because, I already have, especially with Wes and Kyle, like this rapport. I know these guys. It's like it's not like I'm getting to know somebody for the first time. And it's like we have a long backstory and we have a lot that we can just kind of right from the beginning talk about. And again, when it comes to Wes's point of view, when I had him on, it's like our brains operate kind of on the same wavelength when it comes to the challenge. And we both have like that producer mentality mm-hmm. as well as talent. So, and fans, again, like just eat that up because they just love that, the dynamic between the two of us. So I'm excited to start. We're going to do, obviously, when the next, all-star season comes out, we'll all have them on, and that'll be fun because we'll get to have some of the old school guys on from there. But what I'm also going to do is, as a way to bring on some of the fan favorites, we're going to do like Hall of Fame episodes. So, we're going to do like a Leroy Hall of Fame episode where we kind of go back and talk about his, big challenge moments, and we're able to go back and kind of rehash those things. So I'll be able to bring some of the other cast members that people want to hear from on, but not necessarily talk about the current season because, I don't think they've watched. I know at least Leroy, I've talked to him. He hasn't watched the second of it, and I don't blame him.
You got to get creative sometimes. So
yeah.
Like, oh, I can bring Miz on because he has the connection and he's on Dancing with the Stars, so he has something. But yeah, if I ask him, he's not watching the season, I assume. Yeah. So
I'm kind of, that's the thing. I'm kind of pigeonholed. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm kind of, I've got to focus on one. But what makes it, it's almost like there's a give and a take, right? Like I was going to do a podcast prior to this, just basically my own podcast, and every week it was going to be different guests. And that would have had its own host of difficulties as well, because
I'm going to be bringing on people that I don't know. I'm going to be bringing on people that I'm just, that I have to do research on, and whatever show or industry or, you know, walk of life they're from.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, I probably don't know much about it. So I'm going to have to learn on the fly. What's great about the Death, Taxes, and Bananas podcast is this is a world that I am all too familiar with. And again, I'm able to bring my own, you know, past experiences and my, you know, cornucopia of just knowledge. And I could bring that into the episodes. And again, not just necessarily talk about the show at hand and what we're watching, but how I can almost like relate that to other seasons, past experiences that I've had, and almost give the people, my guests, advice on maybe what they could have or should have done differently.
Right. Totally. You're the expert now. So that's perfect. Well, what do you think of this season?
Whew. I mean, have you ever lit a dumpster on fire and watched it burn? I'm just kidding. I think with what the challenge is trying to accomplish, I totally get what they're trying to do. And I totally get why they're trying to do it, right? I just don't necessarily think they're going about it the right way. The challenge is always, I mean, from its inception, the challenge has always, and it came from the real world. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple formula. Okay. You take with the real world, seven strangers. They're all, you know, usually attractive. You're going to put them in a house together. They come from different walks of life. But based on the environment alone, that's going to give you all that you need to make great television. You don't need to do a whole lot to it. You know, and there's like some recipes, you don't need a lot of seasoning. They're just going to be good by themselves.
Yeah.
Challenge was always the same way, right? The challenge, the recipe's simple, man. It's the same thing. You're just taking people from the real world or road rules, and you're putting them in this environment, and you're creating a game around it, and you're, you know, which obviously encourages deceit and manipulation and that sort of thing. But then you also like, there's a lot of great fun personalities in there. So you kind of have fun as well. Throw some alcohol in the mix. And it's as simple as that. I mean, think about the old school formats, you know, the Inferno. It's like, you got good guys, you got bad asses. Very easy to understand. Yeah. Rivals. You have people who fought. Exes. You have people who fought. Like anyone, even if you've never watched the challenge before, you can put it on and be like, all right, I get it. This person hates this person. This person slept with this person. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, not only do we have cast members from like every point on the globe, half of them, I mean, have a very like loose grasp on the English language. So like it's difficult to understand kind of like what they're saying or what they're trying to do. Like, we've never met these people before. We have no relationship with these people. And you're putting them now on this show. And the concept is like so difficult to understand. And it changes every 3 seconds. Me as someone who's been on the challenge for, I mean, I don't need to tell you how long. It's been a decade and a half of my life. Like, I'm having trouble following along and keeping up with it.
Yeah.
It's like, you're supposed to be able to throw the challenge on, or it's one of those shows where you could kind of have it playing in the background and kind of take a look at it. Okay, I get it.
Totally.
This show, if you miss 5 seconds of it, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. When did they become partners? Or what's this new twist? And I feel like what they've done is they've added, like, the fans, like, I feel like they've almost like done too much. Where it's like with the gimmicks and with the bells and the whistles and all the like spies and lies, and you know, everything's diffusing a bomb and solving a puzzle. Yeah. TJ comes on like fucking Carmen Sandiego in the, you know, on the screen. They're voting on iPads. Like, we don't need it. Like,
no.
That just goes to show that my thing is like, again, like what I said before, when a recipe is good, you don't need extra seasoning. And I feel like now they're like, oh my God, this is so bland. Let's like just dump everything we've got in the spice rack on it. You know?
I think it's funny that you brought up the language barrier, because I spoke to so many people from it that had said like, not only did it make, it makes it hard for audiences because it really, it's hard to relate to these people and connect with them because we don't really get to talk, like get to hear from them a lot. It's also hard for them to understand the game.
100%.
And I think a lot of them are very confused about what's going on. And I don't blame them because like you said, we can speak the language very well. And like, I've been watching it from the beginning. You've been on it for this long and it's confusing. So,
I mean, I couldn't imagine, going on, you know, Big Brother, like, or Warsaw Shore or Big Brother Double Dutch or whatever it is. I'd be a fish out of water. I wouldn't know. I mean, everything's different. The culture's different. And the again, the language barrier is different. And the show is different. Like, the, and again, I think sometimes it's almost like I related it to sports before. You know how soccer or, you know, in Europe is, it's like the biggest sport ever. Like everybody watches it, but no one could give a shit in America.
Yeah.
I feel like it's almost kind of the same where I get what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the challenge international. We're trying to make it global. But I feel like what resonates with like an American audience isn't necessarily gonna resonate with an international audience. And while I love the injection, like for example, I think War of the Worlds won the first time we really had like this massive influx of Brits that came on. I thought it was arguably since Fresh Meat 2, that was the best rookie class we've had. You know what I mean? With Joss and Kaylee, Rogan, Bear, who else? Theo, Zahida, Georgia, like every one of them was like, I mean, a fantastic personality, just larger than life. And we're just, I feel like just cut out perfectly for the show. And I think that they, again, connected very well with the audience. One of the main reasons I think is because they were already developed television personalities in their respective country, right? They had already developed a fan base and developed a character. Now, they're not like coming on and trying to, I don't know, like create this television persona. I think we get a lot of that with the Big Brother influx, unfortunately, as well. I think with Big Brother, we have, you know, a lot of these cast members who did one season of Big Brother, right? Had that momentary like flash in the pan of fame. And now it's like they're coming onto a show and they're trying to like capture that again, but they just seem so, so thirsty in the process. You know what I mean? And that's, again, I think that's another reason why, like it, from what I've gathered, a lot of, you know, a lot of the Challenge fans haven't necessarily, you know, it, adopted the Big Brother alums the way that, you know, kind of we thought they would. So what's the solution? I don't have an accurate, I don't have a you know, a foolproof solution. I would say if I was casting a season, what I would do is obviously there's this massive push with All Stars, right? And based on the first season of All Stars, we've seen the hunger and the desire for fans to like see these old, the old school cast members, you know what I mean? And I think nostalgia is in right now. I think everybody loves, wants to just, we're in such a weird time right now, last couple of years with COVID and with whatever, all the crazy shit that's been going on just in, you know, in the world. It's like people want like, to feel, people want to go back to a time when things were like easier, like a simpler time or like a happier time. I think with the nostalgic music and I think with the nostalgic television shows and that sort of thing, I felt like that when I watched the first season of All Stars. I'm like, oh man, this is like great. I feel like a kid again. And why not, instead of having the Challenge and All Stars, two different franchises, like meld them into one. You can, you know, you can still bring on, you know, some international influence, but it's like, you need to give the fans, the Challenge fans, like the long standing, the ones that have been around, you need to give them what they want. And I'm telling you, the ones that have been watching since Bananas was on Key West, don't want Gabo from Warsaw Shore. Like, it's just not going to happen. And you like, no matter how many, you know, Gabos you bring on, it's the fans just aren't good. It's like learning new technology, right? I'm to the age now where it's like, Like, I'm set. Like, I got my phone. I don't want to learn how a new phone works. I don't want to learn a new social media platform. Like, I'm happy with what I've got. And I feel like it's the same with cast members, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. What do you think of the vets working together? And do you feel like it's a little silly that they haven't turned on each other yet to get out strong people? Because it's crazy to me. I get trying to get out all the rookies first, but it seems crazy to me that we see these people win and dominate over and over again, and they don't target them. So tell me.
So I just had Huey on my podcast, and I
listened. Just okay. Great interview.
Thank you. And I kind of broke this down to him, and I was saying the same thing. And this is from like being an armchair quarterback, as I like to call it. It's very easy to be like, oh man, well, why aren't they doing this? Or they should be doing this, or he should have voted so-and-so in, or why is she not confronting them? It's so easy. And I do this too. So easy to watch from the couch and be like, this is what I would have done. And this is what should be done. Right. When you're there, when you're in the environment, and when you're dealing with like that house and the tension and the stress and the pressure that's put on you, in theory, yes, it sounds like this is what should happen. But when it actually comes to making that plan, putting that plan in motion in reality, it's a whole different thing. I've seen it happen in the house before where they'll be before a nomination. Everyone will be running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And I can't tell you how many times we're going to make a power move, right? It's been on me sometimes. We're throwing bananas in. And I hear whispers around the house like, yo, your name's being tossed around. I'm like, all right. It might be, but let's see if it's very easy when you're running around the house to have this plan. But then once you get into the nomination room and once it's time for you to act, that name actually come out of your mouth, a lot of people just don't have the, you know, intestinal fortitude to like follow through with something that is going to make waves in the house if there is an easier option. You know what I mean?
Right.
With the rookies, I get it. Okay. Because they're coming into a game they don't know. And they're looking at the vets to kind of like almost show them the way. And sometimes it's like they're such like fish out of water. It's almost like even though they know that this route that they're going is going to like probably end in their demise, it's almost like, all right, well, I'd rather it's almost like I'm on the happy to be here program. I just want to stay as long as I can. The vets, it's almost like the same thing. I think the vets, and it's always about this. It's just about making it to the next week. You know what I mean? And I think they know, they all know, you know, the writing is on the wall. They all know that eventually, and it seems like now based on the move Priscilla made at the end of last episode, which was a fucking boss move, by the way.
Awesome.
It's going to come to fruition very quickly. So, you know, if I was there, as much as I want to say that I'd be playing, I'd probably just be rolling with the vets too. Like, just get rid of everybody else. Like, get rid of the rookies, knowing full well that it's like, you know, all we're doing is kicking the can down the road.
All right. So before I let you go, cause I don't want to keep you too long. Obviously you're filming First Look, which comes back Saturday. I want to remind people after SNL. Which traveling all over, but I feel like on top of that, on top of the podcast, on top of everything else that you're doing, what are you doing in your me time? Because I feel like as someone in the industry traveling and this life, it looks very glamorous, but it's also exhausting and you need time to relax. What do you do when you're like, wow, I have a day off?
Landscape. I'm into this thing called earthing now, Emily. So over the last year during like the whole COVID was actually a blessing in disguise for me. Okay. Prior to COVID, I mean, you want to talk about burning the candle at both ends. It was like, I would be home for maybe 3 days a month. And sometimes they weren't even consecutive days.
Yeah.
And again, between First Look and between, you know, again, the challenge and then, you know, other projects I've been working on, Food Network, all these other things, it was like I was never home. And there was just a lot of things that I wanted to do at my house, whether it's whatever remodel or especially like my outside landscape. I just wanted to like, there was so much that I wanted to do, but I just never had time. And when I'd come home, it's like the last thing I want to do is think about getting involved in a project. But during COVID, it gave me the opportunity to spend a lot of time outside. And I'm fortunate enough to have like property where I'm able to have a yard and plant stuff. So yeah, I've become quite the gardener. Earthing, as I said, it's when you like take your shoes off and walk around barefoot and reconnect with the earth, because we just don't do that. As human beings, yeah. Think about it. When's the last time you've been barefoot in, like, say, the grass or like dirt or sand or whatever? It doesn't happen a lot. You're always wearing shoes. You've always got this. Yeah, you've always got like this. And I know it sounds stupid. It probably sounds like this. I sound like some weird hippie, like I'm about to go hug a tree. But try it. All right. It's just something that, like, I don't know, man. Like, it really helps like ground me.
Interesting.
And in this crazy, like you said, mixed up world that I live in, I've found that there's always like been and I've always said this, like, I want to find balance in my life. And it's like this eternal search for balance. Balance is, you're never going to find it. Okay. You're constantly going to be like teetering one way or other. And what I've found is that balance is a mixture between chaos and stability. And I live such a chaotic life. I have so much chaos going on in my life all the time with the industry that I'm in, that this is like my stability. And as long as I can like kind of keep one foot rooted in, like, you know, stability, I'm able to experience the chaos and not get kind of like thrown out and lost in, you know, the world of entertainment and shit. So, so in my free time, I love to spend time outside, exercise, obviously, like, I'm, you know, big with that. I mean, I've not just from the physical aspect, but like, I mean, it just works wonders for my mental health as well.
Yeah.
I love to cook. I just got this amazing grill from, we did this, integrated marketing shoot with Ace Hardware. So I got this grill called a Traeger, and it's like a smoker, but uses like these wood pellets. Like, this thing is like completely revolutionized my idea of grilling. So I've been doing a lot of cooking, a lot of grilling. I've been visiting family. I got my dad in town, so Papa Bananas is here for another, you know, week and a half. We're actually screening a first look episode. We're having a bunch of people over, and we're doing an outdoor screening of a first look episode. So this is, so when I'm home, when I'm not filming, when I'm not on the road, when I'm not, you know, living that life, like, I just try to, you know, recharge and get rejuvenated for the next time I, you know, have to go out and melt my brain again. So
when you're not bananas.
Exactly. When I don't have to be bananas. Yeah. It's kind of nice to be able to not every once in a while, but it's like, like the Gemini in me. You know what I mean? Right. I think as much as I don't want to admit, I really do think I have like this split personality thing going on. So, but I think that's what's helped me, you know, navigate the reality world for as long as I have.
For sure. Well, obviously, like you said, there's probably more All-Stars coming. Since you're back in that challenge world now with the podcast, is that something you're hoping to do?
Hoping? I mean, it's something that I'd be open to doing. I mean, I actually, believe it or not, the first season of All Stars, I was a yes. I mean, I told them I'd do it, but I think it was too soon after my Total Madness win. And I think that they are trying to maybe create a little bit of space between the flagship challenge and All-Stars challenge. But from what it seems like as of late, there may be a little more cross-pollination going on. So I'd say the chances of seeing me on a challenge in the near future, All-Stars would probably be a much more, logical one to see me on. The time commitment isn't as long. It would allow me to kind of, you know, not take as much time off. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely anxious to, I miss it. I miss the challenge. I mean, I grew up decade and a half of my life. It's something that I did, you know, once, twice a year. And it was like this cadence that I kind of had. It was like this routine that I was in. And now that I haven't done it in the last, you know, close to 2 years, I really do feel like it's something that I miss, and it's something that, you know, I would probably really enjoy doing again. So we'll see.
2 years, is this been your longest break?
Yeah, this is really been my only break. Yeah. You know, I mean, the only time I've ever taken a season off is when I wasn't cast because of the format. And I think the last time I wasn't cast based on the format was Battle of the Seasons. And just to tell you how long ago that was like Zach's first challenge season. Yeah. So that was a while ago. Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah. Johnny, it's always a pleasure to have you on. So anytime you want to come on and chat, we always will love to have you. Tell everybody where they can find you with your 25 projects that you have going on.
Yes. Let's see. You can find me in the club with a bottle full of bub. Social media. I mean, Twitter is Johnny Bananas, Instagram's at Real Johnny Bananas. And then First Look every Saturday night after SNL. My new season begins this Saturday night. We're going to Chicago, the Windy City. After that's PCH, then New York, then Provincetown. And then we'll see where the wind blows us after that. And then you can find my my podcast, Everything Challenge, the Death Taxes and Bananas podcast, on Spotify on the Ringer Network. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. It was so nice. Nice to see you, hopefully in person sometime soon.
Thanks for having me, Em.
The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies airs on MTV every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. You can also catch up on old seasons on Paramount Plus, which is what I've been doing a lot of the time, and watching some old Real Worlds because it's very entertaining. We'll be back next week with another interview. We have some great guests coming up, so stay tuned for that. If you have comments or complaints or suggestions, reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta. I would love to hear from you. If you love the podcast, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Give us some feedback. Leave an iTunes review. We would love to hear from you. I always love to hear your questions and your comments. So it would be really great. As always, guys, stay safe and until next week.